The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Hallelujah. All right, this is my last message, I promise, in this series, a separate and necessary part. I've taken that from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. That's New Living Translation. Now, I don't usually use the New Living Translation, but I like that translation and the way it says that. I want to talk to you this morning about being a separate and necessary part, because we are all a part of the body of Christ. We're separate, but we're all necessary. But we become an intricate part of the body. Now, I have a subtitle this morning, Called According to His Purpose. I want to talk about four or five things that help us to understand that we are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Now, what I want you to understand is, do you love the Lord? Yes? Amen? If you're here in this church this morning, you should not say no. You love the Lord. You're here. Even if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, the purpose for you being here most likely is that you're looking, you're seeking, you're trying to find the Lord, and you love the Lord. So you have that desire. So it's very important that we understand the fact that we here at Bethel Worship Center are striving to serve the Lord. And you, every one of you, are called according to His purpose. His purpose. Now, many of us have got this thing a little backwards. We think we're called according to our purpose, to accomplish our will and our desire. So we need to really understand that we are called according to God's purpose. So wherever you are in your life and whatever you're doing, whatever junction you find yourself at, it's for God's purpose, for His ultimate glory and power. And some of you are probably in a situation right now where it doesn't feel very comfortable. It doesn't feel like you're accomplishing God's will. But we have to remember that all things work to the good. All things work to your good, because you are called according to His purpose. And when we catch hold of that, no matter where we are and what we're going through, we can rest in it with peace and not allow anxiety and frustration to overcome us. Because even though we have a difficult time, we know that this thing is going to work for our good. It's not just for the good of the kingdom, it's our good. It works for our good, ultimately, because we are called for God's purpose. If we catch hold of that revelation, it can change our life. Because it's all about our perspective in life. I like this story about that. A gentleman was walking through a stone quarry one day, and he came up on a gentleman, and he asked him, he said, what are you doing? Well, this guy was a little frustrated. He said, can't you see? I'm working. Leave me alone. So he went to the next guy, and he said, what are you doing? He said, why, I'm earning $100 a week. This was a long time ago. He said, okay. And he went to the third guy, and he said, what are you doing? And he was chiseling on this big, cutting out a big piece of marble in a stone quarry. And he said, he stood up, and he puffed out his chest a little bit, and he said, I'm building a cathedral. Every one of those men were doing exactly the same thing, but they had a different perspective on what they were doing. What is your perspective on your life, on your calling, on your purpose? If you can get the right perspective, doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you, doesn't matter what men will say to you, doesn't matter what happens in your life, the circumstances that come up, what will matter to you more than anything else is accomplishing God's purpose and recognizing that it's all going to work out for your good. Called according to his purpose. I want to show you this morning that you have been chosen, you've been gifted, you've been called, you've been equipped, and you've been appointed. Amen. Don't get so excited about it. Praise the Lord. You are chosen. 1 Peter 1:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He's talking about you. Hallelujah. He's talking about me. We're chosen people. And we're not paupers. Sometimes we act like it. Sometimes we confess it. Sometimes we allow the enemy to lie to us. But the word of God is true. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are his own special people. Man, that should make you feel good. You are a child of the Most High God. Man, that lifts me up. That encourages me. It causes me to recognize that wherever I go and whatever I'm doing, my God, my Father, my Daddy loves me. He's directing me. He's keeping me. He's protecting me. He's nurturing me. He's on my side. And guess what? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. No one. Nothing. Yeah, we have an enemy. We know that. But what is he? He's second rate when it comes to our God. He is under our feet according to the word of God. He's under Jesus' feet, and guess what? We're the body. So he's under our feet. Yes. Glory be to God. That means that he is in a place where I really don't have to worry about him. Yes. He'll raise his ugly head once in a while, and if I recognize who I am and my position, all I have to do is lift my foot and stomp him back down. Yes. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Now that seems easy when I'm standing up here talking about it. But real life tells us it's not that easy, right? Yeah. Amen. But it's still the position. We have to recognize that we take the right position, the right stature in Christ, and recognize who we are. So yes, there are times when the enemy rises up and he says, boo, and it's right in your face. And you don't always have the strength yourself to overcome. That's why we have a body. That's why we're all part. That's why we are necessary separate parts. Because then when we know that we have a body, if my ear itches, my other ear can't scratch it. I have to have the hand reach up here and scratch it. So, you know, if I'm being beat up by the enemy, I run over to my hand here and say, hand, come and scratch my ear. Come and help me. Come and encourage me. You know, we get kind of proud in the kingdom. You know, I'm Pastor Rob. I can't ask for other people to help me and support me and pray for me. Gosh, people look to me to be the spiritual head. Well, listen, I get down, I get beat up, I get run over, I get stomped on sometimes. That's why we have to have the body. It's a necessary that separate part. But we're all necessary. Every one of you.
That's right.
Is very, very necessary. Chosen by Almighty God. The Greek word means picked out, chosen by God, plucked out. We're plucked out from destruction, picked up by Almighty God, rescued from hell, because God chose us. Now, what's it mean to be chosen by God? Ephesians 1:11 says this, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." That's New King James Version. Predestined means this, decided beforehand. Now, I don't want to get in a theological debate with anybody because this one is one that has been talked about from eons ago. You know, when it was first written, it was talked about and debated. What does it mean to be predestined? Well, some believe that you are predestined to heaven or you're predestined to hell. And God's just allowing you, you know, you just go through your life and God has already chosen. Well, if you really delve into this word and you try to understand that what it means, it doesn't really mean that God predestined you to hell or to heaven. It means that God really predestined a plan that you could choose to be a part of. And that's God. God has predestined that to happen. But here's something I want you to understand. When I was thinking about this, I did not choose my children, but I choose my children. Does that make any sense to you? I love my children. I didn't choose to have a daughter the first time and a daughter the second time and a son. I didn't choose that. Now, I got to tell you, we're coming up on an age where a lot of people are going to choose. They're going to choose the color of their skin, the color of the eyes, the color of the hair, color of the skin. They're going to choose. You know, there's genetic manipulation and DNA stuff that's going on that will just blow your mind. So there is a possibility of choosing a lot of things. Sex, male or female, my goodness. But the fact is, I did not really choose my children, but today I choose my children. They're mine. And I choose to love them. I choose to support them. I choose to be with them as much as possible. You know, everybody who's a parent, you realize that by the time they become teenagers, they sometimes do not choose to be with you. You know. In fact, if you take them to school, they would prefer that you would stop a mile down the road so they could walk the rest of the way. But believe me, if you have teenagers right now, it gets better. It does get a lot better. And if you instill the right principles in your children, you love them and you teach them and you discipline them, you say no when no is appropriate, they'll come back to you one day and say, thank you. Thank you. No matter what they're going through, no matter what's happening, they'll come back and say, thank you. All right, so we can just recognize that we are chosen by Almighty God. Now, one of the things I want us to recognize is that we are not only chosen, the next thing is that we are also gifted. He's gifted us for ministry. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you see? There are some incredible words here. We can prove, by the renewing of our mind, we can know and prove what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect in the sight of God. Sometimes, you know, these are on different levels. There's a good will of God, there is an acceptable will of God, and there's a perfect will of God for your life. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, he just lists a few gifts. There's many, many more gifts in the body of Christ and in the New Testament and Old Testament. And I'll just let you look that up and find the different gifts. I'll share a few with you. But if you really want to know where they are, if you're taking notes, some of the places you'll find them is Romans 3:8, Ephesians 4:7 through 16, Exodus 31:27. That one is a craftsman, and it says, it surely states that they had their skill because of the Spirit of God. 2 Chronicles 2:7 through 14, and 2 Chronicles 5:11 through 13. Now, there's two Greek words in the New Testament used to describe spiritual gifts. The first one is pneumatikos, and it pertains to the spirit or breath, and it's talking about spiritual things or things pertaining to the spirit. This word emphasizes the spiritual nature or the origin. It originates with the Holy Spirit, with God himself. The other word used in 1 Corinthians 12 to identify spiritual gifts is charisma. And we've all heard of charisma. There's Charisma Magazine, charisma, meaning grace gifts. And as I mentioned to you last week, that grace is more than just being forgiven. Grace is being willing to take your punishment as well. And that's incredible. So these grace gifts are imparted to us not because we are worthy, but because God wills it regardless of who and what we do and who we are. Now we don't like that. We like to earn things, right? We like to think that, well, God has imparted this particular gift to me because I'm good or I've done something special. That's just our whole society. That's how we operate. But the reality is the gift that you have, gift or gifts in your life, was given to you by the Holy Spirit, and it has nothing to do with you. I want that to sink in just a little bit. Now, I categorize these gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, and gifts of the Spirit. I put them in two different categories. Let me explain. The gifts, the spiritual gifts, which I gave you all those scriptures, I believe are the skilled laborers of the body of Christ. Now, in here we have people who work construction. We have carpenters, we have electricians, we have people, even labor, some belong to labor's union. People who are skilled in, Paul does heating and cooling. We have people that are skilled in various different things. People skilled in computers, different skills and abilities. Leland is a skilled man in a lot of different areas. He does all kinds of things. And one of the things that that I want us to understand about this is that those gifts that I was talking about are the skilled laborers, musicians, prophets, apostles, teachers, preachers, and many of helps, all kinds. There's a whole list of things that are the skilled laborers of the body of Christ. And each and every one of us has been, one of those things have been imparted to us so that we can build up and encourage the body. Without them, if we're deficient in one, the whole body suffers. You know, it's important. I have to have my ears to hear properly. Those are important. We have to have the skilled laborers in this body to function properly. Okay, the other gift, the other category that I want to speak on just briefly, we do a whole series of teachings on this, but the other one is the gifts of the Spirit, and that's found in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, and I call these tools. If you, you know, if you're an electrician, you've got a certain set of tools. Tony, is that right? You have a certain set of tools that you use. Absolutely. You probably have a hammer, but most of the time you don't use a hammer when you're doing electrician work. I have seen a few electricians that use hammers, and that it's not pretty. Yes. If you're a carpenter, you have a certain set of tools that you need. It doesn't matter. You know, if you work with computers, you got a certain set of tools that you have, normally software, right, Todd, that you work with. So whatever you do, you have a certain set of tools that you work with. And that's the same with the body of Christ. We have a set of tools that are incredible tools, supernatural tools, that will cause us to be able to accomplish whatever God wants us to accomplish in our life. They're exciting and they're supernatural. These tools are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They are, and I put these in categories as well. Now, I didn't do this. Other people have done it, and I like it. Amen. Number one, revelation gifts, word of wisdom. That's a tool. Why is that a tool? Because if you're a craftsman out there doing the craft of the kingdom of God, and you run across somebody that needs a word of wisdom, you have the tool. The Holy Spirit imparts that tool to you. Now, does that mean that you're walking around with all these tools all at the same time and you can just bring them up at will? No, I believe when you need them, the tool's available. But you got to be doing something. You know, I worked construction for a while. And let me tell you something. When you work construction, you spend a lot of time not working. Because at times there was all kinds of work. At other times, there just wasn't much work. But in order for me to practice the craft, I had to have a job. I had to be doing something. And guess what? If I really, you know, it's the way it is in a union. You want to work, you better be willing to call somebody to find out if there's work. You better get busy about it. You know, Roy Lee does a lot of pouring of concrete. And Daryl used to, you still do any of that stuff, Daryl? You still pour concrete? Oh, okay. No, okay. Well, anyhow, you know, I know Roy Lee, because he has a reputation, people call him. But if you just waited for people to call you all the time, work would get pretty slim, huh? I mean, you have to get out there and do something. You have to work at it. Yeah. Body, we have to work at this kingdom thing. We have to be willing, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. You know, I love the fact that Brenda is going out on the streets and sharing the word of God, and that's awesome. We need to do that. But I can tell you this, that what we need to do is have a kingdom mindset that wherever we go, we're looking for people that need to be ministered to, because there's thousands of them out there. You know, as I most of you know that I have a part-time job where I answer the phone for my uncle. He does mobile home inspections. And I can't tell you how many times I've had an opportunity to pray for people over the phone. You know, we're working as an entity of the state. So you want to scratch this part. as an entity of the state. So I could get in trouble probably for praying for people. But I got to tell you, I don't care. They do. And the first thing when they tell me their problems, and people will talk to you. You get them on the other end of the phone, they will talk to you. And when they tell me what's going on, the next thing I do is say, do you believe in prayer? And I've never had anybody say no. Then can I pray for you?
Yes.
It's simple.
Yes, it is. Hallelujah.
And that's the kind of thing that on a daily basis, that's kingdom work. And I want to tell you something. Many times as I was praying for those people, God would deposit a word of prophecy, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. One of the gifts were in operation as I ministered to that individual. That's the tools that we need.
Amen.
We're the laborers. We're the skilled craftsmen. But those are the tools. And I want you to pray about those tools. Ask God to impart those tools into your life as you have need of them. Man, so you can whip that thing out, you know?
That's right.
I've got this tool belt. I've been building a chicken coop. I've got this tool belt. Got my drill on the side and hammer hanging down here and nails or screws, what I've been using. And sandwich. No. No sandwich. All the necessary tools. And man, that thing gets heavy carrying around all day. But the tools are there. When I need it, I don't like, I'm about 50 yards from the house. I don't want to have to run back to the house and grab the screw gun when I need it. It's right there on my side. You know? Feel like wider. But it's great. You know, I have the right tools with me.
That's right. Amen.
We need to recognize we have the right tools. They've been imparted by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray about it. Ask God. First, be a craftsman and get out there and do what God has called you to do. And then ask God for the impartation of the tools that are necessary for your life to be able to minister. You are called. Wow. Called. Romans 8, 27 through 31. Now he who searches the hearts knows that the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There, right there is a key to the using the tools. Recognize that the Holy Spirit is making intercession. Pray in the Spirit. I'm telling you, when you pray in the Spirit, the power of God will come upon you. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. You are called of God. The Greek word called, kaleo, it means he has invited you. He offers an invitation to you to come and be used in his kingdom. He's invited. The God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the creator of all things invites you. You have a personal invitation to come and be a part of his kingdom. Accomplish things for his kingdom. The incredible thing about that is that we can choose to be a part or choose not to. You've been chosen from before the foundation of the world, gifted, called to do a work for the kingdom of God. God chose you. Now, are you going to choose him and choose to do his will? You know, the body of Christ, I was thinking about this. I was watching a thing on, I think it was National Geographic. It was, showed some ants. And there's a colony of ants, or a group of ants, Argentine ants. And because of man moving things around from place to place, from Argentina all over the world, those ants have become populated in all parts of the world. But the interesting thing about these particular ants is that they all seem to be from the same colony. Individual ants have certain pheromones that they, or colonies have certain pheromones that they put out, so the ants know the members of their colony. Well, these particular ants, they've done tests on them, and what they're finding out is that the DNA and the chemical profile of these ants all match the same ant colony in Argentina. So this is, they're saying it's a super colony of the same kind of ants, or the same ants from the same colony. And I thought about that. Man, that's the body of Christ. You know, we started in Jerusalem, and spread out through the Middle East and all parts of the world. And we all have the same genes and the same DNA. It's Jesus. We put off this pheromone, this odor. It's called the Holy Spirit. Whew. And it just draws. It draws us and it draws people to the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know how you feel about being compared to an ant, but I kind of like it. Ants are incredible creatures. You know, if you had the strength of an ant, you could pick up an automobile and carry it around over your head without even thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Supernaturally, spirit realm, we have that kind of power.
Oh, Jesus.
Supernatural power.
That's right.
God, hallelujah. We are powerful people.
Yes.
We just don't know how powerful we are. When we start walking in that power, we start recognizing that we are craftsmen for the body and that we have these gifts that we can tap into on a regular basis. Look out, devil.
That's right.
Because the kingdom of God is coming and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Here's the next one I want to, I'd really like to get through all these. I don't know if I will or not. The next thing is equipped. Turn with me to Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. One of my favorite scriptures. Now, listen, this verifies what I was talking about, the craftsman in the body, because it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Our paradigm has shifted somewhat. Over the years, as we have recognized that the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists are not necessarily the only laborers in the kingdom. We have, in the past, we always looked to the pastor. The pastor had to pray for people. The pastor had to go visit people. The pastor had to do all the work. Sometimes even the pastor had to mow the lawn. Now, I've mowed the lawn here, not because I have to. But I did, you know, I wanted to sow some seed back into the ministry. But however, here's what we got. We have moved from that model, and that was the wrong model. Because the congregation always depended on the pastor, the spiritual leader, to do everything. And it was wrong.
That's right.
The right model is that the pastor is the lead example in these things, and the body of Christ does much of the work. It's spread around.
That's right.
Equipped the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, you have to get the proper definition of ministry, too. Ministry is not just teaching Sunday school. Hallelujah, it is. Ministry is not just praise and worship. It is. Ministry is not just taking an offering. Ministry is not just interior church work.
Right.
Ministry is what we talked about earlier. Ministry is hands-on stuff, praying for people out there, touching people's lives, speaking words of wisdom into their life and knowledge and prophetic words, praying and seeing people set free. Marriage is healed because God's people are equipped for the ministry. All right. We want you to be equipped. It's a very important part of ministry. Moses knew that he was chosen. He recognized his gifting, and he felt the call of God. And yet, Moses tried to do things his own way. And he went out, and he tried to deliver the Israelites himself, and he ended up murdering an Egyptian. And he had to run and flee. He had to hide out. Tried doing it his own way. Now, the reason I bring that up is that I want you to understand that God had a time of equipping Moses. And it was 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, taking care of sheep, learning to hear the voice of God, learning to get close to God, understanding the power of God. 40 years. Now, here's what happens in the body of Christ. We hear a message like this sometimes, and we get excited, and we're ready to go out and just take on the world. And you can take on the world, but it's important that you're equipped properly to be able to do that. Proper teaching, proper training. That's why we have spiritual journey classes, so that you can be trained properly to do the work of the ministry. The Apostle Paul went to Arabia for 3 years to be equipped by God before he really got involved in ministry. Many of us can't wait 40 days. And we go out and we make a mess of things, just like Moses did. God took me and Tammy through a lot preparing us for ministry. To be the pastors of this church. Took us several years, about 16 actually, from the time we left and went to Athens, came back, and began ministering or accepting the pastorate at South Bethel New Testament Church. From the time of our conversion, though, God used people to minister to us. I hadn't at all planned on saying this morning, but I want you to understand that God brings people into your life, and he places them in strategic places to build you up, to encourage you, and to equip you. It's not a mistake that you're here at Bethel Worship Center.
Yes, amen.
Now, I got to say this. If you don't want to be here, you don't have to be here. If you're not in support of this church, you don't have to be a part of this church. That is, you're totally, everybody has choices. We love you. We want you to stand with us and believe in us. But everybody has choices to make. I believe our mission here at Bethel Worship Center is to appoint, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. When Tammy and I first received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, it was at that little country church. It was just South Bethel Methodist Church at that time, right, Daryl? And I met this man, Daryl Hawthorne. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm going to say a few good things about him, but before I get started, I want you to understand, he's not perfect. It may sound like it when I say this, but he's just a man. But he and his wife took me and my wife under their wing, and they taught us, encouraged us, took us to places, some places I wished I hadn't gone, but I mean, took us to churches. We went to one Pentecostal church, and they prayed over one woman for an hour, I know, trying to get her to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They beat on that woman. They did all kinds of things. But I consider Daryl Hawthorne to be my father in the faith. Now, just like father-parent relationship, natural, you don't always see eye to eye on everything, right? But I, you know, the one thing we do see eye to eye on is Jesus is Lord. And I learned so much from him and other people that God brought into my life. That was part of our preparation to be pastor. I've been pastoring here now for coming up on 20 years in August. I think I told you guys 21 before. I was mistaken about that. Next year will be 21. We'll be finishing up 20 years. And during that period of time, leading up to pastoring, God was preparing me. And for 20 years, I believe he's been preparing me and this congregation for what is just ahead of us. There's incredible, incredible power being released in the spirit realm. And we're going to tap into it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Equipped. Amen. Stand with me. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.